And the key to that black man out there in that field is he had faith. Spurgeon says, when your faith is threatened to die, it begins to live. As soon as you think you have none, it starts. It raises you up. Do you get to the point that you know you can't touch God and you can't touch Him in the matter of moving God? Faith moves God. Faith moves God. Not belief. Faith moves God. That's the lack of it. Will there be any faith when I come back to this earth? Will there be any faith? And that's Luke 18 on the prayer, the importunate prayer. Not discouraged and delayed answer. Not discouraged and delayed answer. Keep a hold of God. Keep a cleaving to God. Keep attaching God. And don't quit till you touch Him. Don't stop until you raise Him. Don't get up until you have a place where they say you've got into the place with God. Don't get up until you pray through. Don't get done until you know God's been touched. Amen. That's what prayer is. It's not a few little words. That's something you say. It's not a performance. It's not getting up there. When prayer gets you to altar and gets you to throne, it'll move. It'll move God. It'll move God. He didn't leave us here not to touch His hand. He gave us a place to be able to reach into Him and get things done. Amen. Can God set a table in the presence of His enemy? Can God do something? I was around that little old car when He preached that thing that night. I was headed to camp meeting up to Ed Parton's. We was going in that little old wagon. Ralph was with me, brother. We were singing and going up that mountain headed toward that camp meeting. Brother Silas preaching over there. Can God set a table in the wilderness? And Brother Melvin was just jumping and shouting all over that place. And about time their whole outfit got that way. And they got to shouting and going on. At the little radio, he said, oh no. We're on the radio. He said, we'll never live this down. That's what he said now. We'll never live this down. But I feel His divine presence in my soul. How can I help but preach? Amen. That whole tabernacle went on a buzz, buddy. That radio went in a buzz. That little van stopped on the side of the road. And we done a Larry Ray save on top of that car. A jumping and leaping Harvey. We were around that car right in the middle of the road. The difference in this day in men of God and people and young preachers, those men had the power of God on their lives.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
It comes by prayer. It don't come by knowledge. I've gotten a fight with this big boy over that. Power comes by prayer.
Amen.
Not by knowledge. Amen. E.M. Bound says the pride of learning is against the humility of prayer.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, Ryan. I get stirred up when I see this stuff. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be mean, Brother Pallotta. I love you with all my heart. But young men, this day and age, you better watch all these men you read. I mean, just follow that old man of God that you know had God all over his life. Just follow that man that you might not even, he might not be able to get along with your big fine words, and I'm not saying that because Brother Blood is a real studied man. And a lot of these young boys are. A lot of them are studied people. They study that book and study it hard. I can't
I can't say what I'm trying to say. But them old men, they knew God, buddy. They knew God. They moved God. They moved God. Amen. When my mama was dying from a hole in her heart, Daddy's a deacon in a Baptist church. He come out of the Southern Baptist because they were taking a new version and putting them in the quarterly. And when he walked out of that place that day and went down in that little old holler where the Bible Baptist church is at, my daddy started the Bible Baptist church, Phillips. And also my cousin and Ed Ballou, they wouldn't be accepted in prison no more. They don't need no social teaching. They need some preaching in there is what they need.
Yes, sir.
They need some Holy Ghost, pop, set your lips, Rock of Ages preachers that used to be, and preach!
Amen.
He went up on that hill that night, Mama's supposed to have died. If it's having me, you see why, don't you? Amen. She's going to have me, that's going to kill her. So, and this Saturday night, I told about it because I wasn't born, so you know, she's going to have me. And he went up there all night long. Sunday morning come. He come down off that hill that morning, that little handkerchief. Going down off that hill, and he was coming off that hill, that handkerchief going around and around. Coming down off that hill. He went in there in front of the bed. He said, "Now, Jesse, I just believe God." He didn't do that, Bud Plotter. He looked her right now and he said, "God said you're all right." He said, "God said you're all right." And we're in more than he went out the door. Got his bus ready to go pick up all those people that he tried to bring to church. Some of these preachers want something to do. He got that bus going up through there. He'd pick them up and bring them to church. And I didn't even look at the clock. Well, Brother Raines, I'm going to try to do it real fast. I'm going to preach on an old man. Okay, Brazilia, turn over to 2 Samuel right fast. 2 Samuel chapter 19. And I'm not trying to be hard on young preachers nowadays. Young men. Brother Pilatus and Dr. O'Malley was preaching. I was when he came back from Grenada, I started with Brother O'Malley. And I told him, Brother Pilatus, when I preach his youth conferences all the time, preach his youth meeting down at Central Baptist Church. I told him when I was out there, I'd go out in the lake and I'd study and come back, you know, and he'd be in there, he's really good computers, you know. And that's just when they first started, and I'd be in there sitting there, little in there, and he'd be looking through the door, and I'd say, "One of these days, Brother John, you're going to get up in the pulpit and say, 'Open your computers.'" "Oh, Brother Harvey." I said, "Amen, Dr. John." "Oh, Brother Harvey." You know, I love it, man. He'd come back in there, you know. And whenever I come to a meeting, and when I go up our Brother Parton, he'd look at her, he'd have his iPad, you know. "I've got my Bible, Brother Harvey." I said, "It looks brand new. He never opened it." Amen. I can do that to him because I started with him, and he respects me, and I respect him. He's a good one, buddy. John O'Malley, he'll get you good. I'm telling you, buddy, he'll get you good. You just get him in his... "Amen, Brother Harvey." I said, "Doctor," I said, "you need to get some of that Southern lingo on you. You talk too proper. You know." "Amen. I like that kind of singing too, don't you, brother?"
"Yes."
"I like that old time kind of singing, don't you?"
"Sure."
"I like to hear that little lady. Where's she at? She ain't in here. She's here somewhere to sing that little 'I'm on the battle.' What, that woman, that little lady, whatever, she's here. Where's she at? Hid from me? There you are. It has about a good soldier."
Yes,
let me read it right back and get done. I'm going to do it quick, okay? I'll give you the points. 2 Samuel chapter 19. And I'll begin at verse 31. And Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Rogelim and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now Barzillai was a very aged man. Here we are. He was 80 years old, 80 years old, and he would provide the king his sustenance while he lay in the hand of him, and for a very great man. And the king said unto Barzillai, come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. And Barzillai said unto the king, how long have I to live that I should go up with the king into Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old, and I can discern between good and evil. I can eat the servant's taste when I eat or what the voice of the singing is. Let me hurry on. Let me get the question here. So, should thy servant yet be burdened unto my lord the king? And then I want you to see in verse 36, and shall the king again recompense me such a reward? And then go on down there in verse 37, it seemed good unto thee to do these things. Just you'll catch these things in a minute, I hope. In verse 38, he said unto the people, went over Jordan, and when the king was over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned into his own place. All right? Hurry. Three things. First, I want to show you the beauty of a balanced life. All down my time, with all the preachers I deal with, young preachers, everything, they need to learn how to have a balanced life. A balanced life. The beauty of a balanced life. Second, the loyalty of a burdened life. The loyalty of a burdened life. And thirdly, the humility of a life that's buried. Buried in humility. First, let me say, his name means iron-hearted. Barzillai means iron-hearted. And it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. I'm going to make it a good thing. Throw Jimbo. His name means iron-hearted. What do you do with iron? Iron is heated to make it tempered. To temper it. He heats iron. You have to heat iron up to make it temper. Then it's honed. Iron sharpeneth iron. Iron sharpeneth iron. But I'd rather be iron sharpening than to be a piece of iron set on the shelf rusting. Set on the shelf rusting. Boy, there ain't a bunch of them nowadays that have been put on the shelf. And they're nothing but rusting, rusting, buddy. Amen. Rusting. That sharpness of that iron. He's iron-hearted. He becomes iron-hearted. First, the beauty of his balanced life is first his relationship with man. His relationship. He said, can I not discern good and evil? He got to an old age, he still could discern good and evil. Amen. He knew what was right and wrong. He'd turn the news on and watch Kavanaugh and all that other bunch. He knew what right and wrong was. He had learned, he was iron-hearted. He was not faint-hearted. He was not faint-hearted. He was iron-hearted. In the beauty of his balanced life, the relationship which he had with men is that he should dwell with men as peaceably as he could. As much like you, live peaceably with all men. I try my best to do that. You say you don't. Oh, yes, I do. I try to live peaceably with men that are reasonable and right-thinking. They start transferring their works to me, and their words start telling what they are and what they believe in and what they think wisdom is. Brother Raines, I start listening to their conversation, and all of a sudden you say, that ain't right conversation. You'll find out right then it's to live peaceably with all men. As much life in you. This gang over there, Hardy's, it's a political gang. You go into any city and try to be an evangelist in the city, you just look around, there'll be a gang of them sitting somewhere in some little old restaurant somewhere. That's the chewing, spitting gang. You know what I mean? You'll find them if you just get there. They'll be in their little group. There's one over in Kingston, brother. There's one sitting right there. Now they just say, hey, Donnie, you know, they don't want to talk with me because one of them's a Catholic, one of them's an atheist, one of them's a Baptist. Well, yeah, it's all kinds of little junk sitting there. And man, they like to talk about the politics, and they like to talk about religion and everything else. And then all of a sudden you get in that conversation, they go by, and you make one, two little bit statements, and it gets going like this, you know. As much life in me, I want to live peaceably with all men. But it's a hard thing to do in this generation, buddy. I mean, you walk out in the marketplace or go down in the store or go even to your schools or go anywhere, and it's hard to live peaceably with all men with all the confusion. And he said that this old man can still discern right and wrong.
Amen.
Think he's old and he don't know nothing? You better watch out. He's not faint-hearted. He's iron-hearted. He's not faint-hearted. Okay, hurry. His relationship with the peace with men. Then his fellowship with the love for others. He wasn't cold-hearted. He said, could not I taste and eat and drink? Could not I taste? He had the love. He knew how to feast with people. He knew how to sit down and love them and be with them. He had peace. He had love. He had a love. Can I not eat feast with them? I know there's love feast in the book of Jude where those apostates come into the feast meetings and they're there with you. You might as well get ready for it. That those liars and those deceivers who was preaching on wolves here the other night about that grievous wolf, about how he divined, the grievous wolves were warned by Paul in Acts 20. They will come into you. Who was responsible? But I put you elders as the oversight thereof. You take care of my sheep, and their wolves are coming in. But they're going to just pull others off with them.
That's right.
Amen.
He could discern right and wrong in his relationship. He could fellowship in the matter of the taste of eating and drinking. Not only was he not faint-hearted in peace, he was not cold-hearted in his love. You might think that old boy don't love you. He loves you with all your heart. You love me, Brother Harvey? I love you with all my heart. I love you. You say, you don't act like it. Well, I don't know what to do but give my life for Jesus and try to be a help to you and try to be in the right way and try to say the right thing. My children love me, but they respect me. They will not stand up. They will not cross their arms. They will not come and open their mouths and be loud. They're as sweet as they can be.
Amen.
Had a preacher sit down and said, tell you, he's got these opinions about a lot of them hell. He's going on and sort of sideways talking to me. And he said, boy, I sure do love your daughter. She's the sweetest thing. I said, yeah, that's right. I must have done something right, didn't I, buddy? You love me? Keep my commandments. You love me? You love me? I'll give myself for you. You love me? I love you with all my heart. The preacher loves you. He's going to tell you the truth. He loves you. No, that's how, we love you, preacher, but we got to go. You know, I mean, we really love you. Yeah, sure. I've understood how much you love me.
Amen.
It's a hypocrisy. It's a fake love. It's a deceitful heart. Your heart's deceitful, desperately wicked. Desperately wicked. You better not trust your heart. You better not trust your heart. It's wicked. It's wicked. My heart told me. You better not trust your heart. Oh, Brother James, Brother Jeff been preaching for a while on understanding. Understanding. Amen. I can't run rabbits. Got to hurry. He had the beauty of a balanced life. He knew what peace was about. He knew what love was about. And then he knew what joy was about. His worship, when he said, I can hear the singing of the young ones. He could hear the voice of singing. Amen. I tell Brother Riggs, we're going to get him, buddy. I done right after it now, buddy. He said, you better leave him alone. I better leave him alone. Nah, I've been this way a long time. Don't worry, he'll get me back. So, amen. So, and can you take it? Yeah, I can take it. Can you take it? Amen. That's what the problem is. You don't know how to take it, and you don't know how to receive it. And then when your time comes, you can go at it. Amen. It'll be your opportunity. But you better learn how to take it first, buddy. You better learn how to be a soldier. You've got to be trained right. You've got to be taught up right. You've got to be raised up right. You've got to be raised up by a fanatical, hollering, screaming preacher that gets right down in your row and plows it up. Amen. And you won't have no doubt about what he's got to say.
Amen.
It'd be as simple as it could be.
Yeah.
I love you. It's about, we still got an hour and a half over five fries and fries. You know, man, he'll be going at it. We ain't there though. We're in the house of God. Worship. Boy, I like worship, don't you?
Amen.
Hey, amen. It ought to get in you so bad, preachers, that this man's got to stop you and still start you.
Amen.
I'd rather have a bunch of preachers sitting on the front seat that I've got to get them under control. It's get what's on the front seat that you got to pump them up.
Amen.
You got to get them going, you know. Get them up there hollering, screaming, going on. They ain't got nothing to scream and holler about, you know. They're just doing it because everybody else is doing it. I like it when God starts stirring on them that you can't keep them in the seat. You can't keep them off the altar. You can't keep them from prayer. They want God with all their heart and they can't keep them shut up. You want them to shut up, but you can't shut them up. Only thing's going to shut them up is that member in there said, I wish you'd be quiet.
Amen.
We'd come up out of that prayer room at the tabernacle. And we'd be down in that prayer room. And I had a seat right in the corner. It's a tin seat. And that thing had the awfulest dents in it you've ever seen. I mean, dents where I beat on it. You know, I'm not going to know anybody. I'd sit in that corner, I'd be beating on that teat, boy. God, if you don't move tonight, Lord, if you don't come in here tonight, I wasn't praying for me indoors. I wasn't praying for me a place to preach. I'm praying for the man of God that was here the other night. I was praying for Brother Jones. Touch him in power. Touch him in power. Let this place be filled with the Holy Ghost. As much a preacher to come up out of that prayer room, we'd be jumping up down there and Brother Jones would have to hold us down. Because we got to preach to you. You'd be so full of God. You'd be so full of God. And he'd get up there and you know something about ripping pew. He'd buzz around that thing. I thought he'd go to make the honey. You want some bees to go around to the curtain of honey. He did too. He turned into honey. Hey, kind fella. I wish he'd get rid of that stuff. We'd be riding down the road and he said, Brother Harvey. I said, yeah, Doc. I need a little of you. I said, yeah, Brother Jones. I need a whole lot of you. You would know our relationship. People can't... You and Brother... You just don't know it. Joy. Still want to worship the right way, don't you?
Yeah.
Still want to worship. The beauty of a balanced life. The loyalty of a burdened life. Verse 35. I am this day forthwith discerned right at the end that should thy servant yet be a burden unto the Lord the King? So to escape us, just get out of here today so I can get done. Oh, Brother Steve had the text of I was looking at one at Brother Fraser's got on Eudes. I was looking at that this morning about 2:00. And you said, was you getting up to trying to find the message? No, I was up because of my daughter. Every morning at 2:00. I said, Shannon. She said, I'll be up, Dad. Can't read. I said, you just know Dad at dinner. She's going to try to make homecoming tomorrow. They sent her home, told her, get everything in order. Get it all, because this, they know it's over. And I went up there and I heard all that, and I understand the morning women. And I don't tell me this positive stuff. I don't hear it. Well, I don't. You can tell it to everybody else. I don't go in there and talk positive. I go in there to talk promises. And there's a difference in the matter of healing in suffering and sickness. James 5 deals with sin. And there's a promise there. There's a promise there. Job deals with suffering. That's the will of God, you know. The will of God. There's some people die. You can't. I've had them come up to me. He said, Brother Harvey, my husband was a good man. You know, he lived for God. And I was up in New York at a youth conference. I don't know why I preach youth conferences everywhere else. Woo! I was up north in the youth conference right out in the middle of that country. And this woman come up to me and she sat down beside me, Brother. She said, Brother Harvey. I said, ma'am, I'm preaching in R.A. Torrey's pulpit. So, out in the middle of Amish country. She said, "Brother Harvey, my husband was a good man. Said he didn't live in sin." She said, "We prayed with him." She said, "And he died. Don't I have enough faith for him to heal him?" I said, "Ma'am, that's suffering. Whatever the will of God is in suffering. Whatever the will of God is in suffering. But in James 5, it's a promise. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. No one at all. And he shall save them. And he shall deliver them. And he shall forgive of sin."
Amen.
That's sin. And we don't practice in the church. You can't get five men together. They're not with all. They pray they might be like many hears. And you can't get them to pray. That's running off. A balanced life, a burdened life. He said, let me give that one thing about his burdened life. His burden life, he said, "I don't want to be a burden to you." Isn't that a good thing? That in your life, that you don't want to be a burden to people. I don't want to be a burdensome. I don't want to be burdensome. Paul said to the church of Corinth about money. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he said, "I don't want to be burdensome unto you. But I got a dispensation of the gospel, and me, woe is unto me if I don't finish the dispensation of the gospel." You don't need to worry about whether or not you're going to do it. If God called you to preach, you'll preach or die. Well, the other buddy, you'll preach or die. You don't have to worry about whether or not everything else. God said, "I called you, and if you don't preach, I'll get you, buddy." Being God's servant ain't no very simple thing, buddy. I don't want to be a burden to you. I really don't want to be a burden to your church. Your church takes care of me. I mean, you know, every time, you know, and there's a lot of people. We were getting real low a while ago. We bought a house. I don't know why I bought a house after 27 years. I could have done that years ago. I could have done it years ago. But I went out by faith. Say, "You know what you're doing?" "Yeah, I know what I'm doing. But don't ask me to reason with it. I know what I'm doing because God said." And said, "You go out stupid about the church?" "No. I went to Gateway Baptist Church. We said the Jeff was just beginning. We had a youth revival. 25 God saved that church. I had about 10 or 12, 15 or young people. 10 of them became preachers. All the same. They all went up there with him. Made me mad. They all liked Jeff so much. You know. They all had, and I said, "You getting just jumping out of the fire, but into a pan. You jumping out of the pan into the fire. He'll take care of you when you get up there. I guarantee you." But my daughters never won them, buddy. And it didn't bother me. Really, it didn't. Because when they went up there, man, it was on for about 5 or 10 years, wasn't it? And Jeff put the Word of God to them. Jeff kept putting the Word of God to them, buddy. And they come out and they're struggling with what a lot of young preachers are doing right now. They're struggling. My daughter's struggling. My son-in-law, he's not into work right now. He said, "Shut that church down," and he ain't got back up since then. And I took the reproach of it. I don't want to be a burden to you. I don't want to be a burden to you. I don't want to burden you in the matter of standing here preaching. But I want to get back, and I know that you're doing it. And this meeting has got, Brother Raines said it, this meeting is going to grow. God's been on this thing all week. And He was on it last year, and He was on it year before. Because Brother Wayne, I believe with all my heart, is going to obey what God tells him to do and have the direction of the Lord. And you say, "Hey, I know that. I can sense that. And while that makes liberty in me, I've tried to be in control. I don't want to be a burden to you." I don't.
Amen.
And what stirs me up is good preaching. He said he didn't want to end in the life point. He said, the beauty of a balanced life is just, the question is how long have I to live? That's in your beauty of your balanced life. How long do I have to live? You question yourself, how much longer do I want to live? Then the burden of the life, he said, I'll go a little ways. He never wanted to be a burden. The life point. You see the beauty of His balanced life. You see the loyalty of His burdened life. But you see the humility of His buried life.
Amen.
When He's buried. When He's going to be buried. To get it done real fast. You turn to verse 39. And let me go back to 38. Go back to 37. Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again that I may die in my own city and be buried by the grave of my father and my mother. But behold, thy servant Chim as was done. Let him go over with thee, Lord, and let whatever seem good unto thee. Do whatever seems good unto thee. Boy, ain't that the way to get? And the king answered Chim, and shall go over with thee, and I will do it to him which has seemeth good unto thee. And whatsoever thou shalt require me, that will I do for thee. And all the people went over Jordan, and when the king came over Jordan, the king kissed Barzillai. There's your song in that kiss. A holy kiss. I wouldn't want to embarrass him, but I hope I can do this, Brother Jeff. I'm going to say this in a matter of, I've only had two men kiss me on the cheek. One was Randy Pike, and the other was Brother Jeff. I don't even know if he remembers it. We were in the Revival Field Kid at Midtown Drive-In Theater. Had hundreds there, hundreds. And one night it got on. I sat with Buster. It was all in there, every one of us, Buster and all of us, you remember? And Jeff got to going. Got to dancing around in front of the crowd. Got to shout. We got to shout. And I don't know if he remembers, but he come up and hugged my neck and kissed me on the cheek. I remember him. It was God doing it, that you know. And at that moment, did you realize? No, it just came to my after later on, you know. Father, the Holy Ghost was there. That's coming out of the Bible, and I'm through here. That's coming out of Wolf Valley Baptist Church. Brother Randy Pike was preaching that week. Brother Randy Pike was preaching. He was sitting there on that, you know what I'm saying? He was sitting down there. I come up to him, and he looked at me and he said, Brother Harvey, if I don't see you again, meet me at the Gate Benjamin someday. And he kissed me on the cheek. Such great men. Barzillai was not a hard man. He was an iron man. He was an iron man. And that ain't that wicked stuff on television, iron man.
Amen.
He said, let me go back to my house. I'm going to die and be buried with my mom and daddy. Just bury me up on the hill right above the tabernacle up there. I'm going to be buried my mom and dad who knew God. And he said, would you take old Chim Ham with you? His name means pining. Would you take this pining bunch of preachers with you, please? This whining, pining bunch. He wasn't hard-hearted. He was iron-hearted. You're a hard man. I might be iron-hearted. But I know what's right and wrong. That's the peace. I know how to worship. That's my joy. And I know how to love the brethren. The love of the brethren. I'll give this to Brother Allen. I was sitting at the mailbox one day, and the fellowship was down at North Rockwood. And it's been years ago. And I said, God, I don't want to go. He said, you love one another. Go down there and love one another. And I went down and sat at my side, way over on the other side. And old Brother Allen got up to testify. And God got all over him. You know, and I could feel the love, Brother Allen. When I went over and hugged you, I could feel that love.
Amen.
I didn't wrap my arms around the preacher and say I love you and as cold as he could be. We'd run up on that platform many times, Brother Rains. hug your neck and say, "We love you, Brother Rags. Yes, we love you." The glory would be around. And we need that in our camp meeting. I believe this camp meeting is getting that way. And we can't stop preaching to one another. And we got to keep on telling one another. And we got to keep on preaching at each other. And preaching at each other. And preaching at each other. And telling that these young men might know there is a glory. There is a greatness. There is a presence of God. There's waves of joy. There's waves of God. There's a meeting that you can't find nobody. They're outside the doors running everywhere. And they're shouting to her right. Women get in such a fit. You don't even know what they're going to do. Thank you. Are you iron-hearted, old men? Iron-hearted. Okay. I just got to quit. You know how it is with me. I'm sorry. Just quit. Come on.
All right. Thank you, Brother Harvey. Appreciate that. Sister Sharon, how about you coming? And for our time of response to the message, you sing us a song. Would you do that? Come on, sing to us this morning.